how great is God. Amen. Now, as Pastor Micah said, we are ending the revival series. Now we are entering into what we like to call back to the basics. So this is going to be 6 to 8 weeks of us introducing the basics of Christianity, of your walk with Christ, faith, salvation, obedience, things like that. And I was preparing for this weekend. I was into my notes and everything. I'm like, Lord, how do you want me to start off the sermon series of Back to the Basics? And it can't get any more back to the basics than salvation. Amen? And this morning, I don't know if you are sure of your salvation, but once you leave this place, I can guarantee you that you will be affirmed in your salvation, and you will know if you're saved or not. And if you're not, I encourage you to accept Christ this morning. Amen? Amen. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. First Church of God, if we are going to break everything down to the most basic form possible, I'm here to tell you that everything starts when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior in your heart. Your relationship with Christ starts the day you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior. Before that time that you accepted Christ, nothing that you did mattered. Nothing that you did was held against you. Because when you accepted Christ, Christ made all things new. When you gave your life to Christ, he gave you a new identity through his salvation. Now I'm here to tell you, church, that if you don't know if you're saved, if you don't know what salvation means, if you're not sure of where you stand with Christ, my job here today is to make sure that when we dismiss the service and you walk out of here, that you are sure of where you are in your stance with Christ. John chapter 14, verse 6 says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. First Church of God, we need to understand that Jesus must always be the center of our life. Amen. We need to understand, church, that our life needs to be devoted to pleasing God. We need to understand, church, that everything that we all want to start, everything that we want to become, everything that we are going to be can only happen through Jesus Christ. And I like how we are breaking things down and how we are explaining the different building blocks of faith and salvation and everything else. But like I said, church, we need to understand that the beginning of everything is Jesus. The beginning of our building blocks, our foundation blocks to Christianity is accepting Christ as our Lord and Savior. And the beautiful thing about this is, church, that as long as you open your mouth and accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're already saved. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, he saved us not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy, he saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. He didn't save us because he had to. He saved us because he wanted. He gave his life for us, for we can be able to have a relationship with Christ. And this morning, church, I want you to be sure of where you stand in your relationship with Jesus. I don't want there to be a doubt in your mind that you are saved. I don't want there to be a doubt in your mind that Jesus Christ is Lord above you, above your family, above everything that you do. When we begin our walk with Christ and we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that does not mean that life is going to be great and dandy and that we will never go through hardship, that we will never go through struggles, that we will never encounter an issue. But God promises that when we do accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that when those hardships come, he'll be right there with us.
Amen.
Walking side by side. We need to understand, church, that having a relationship with Christ does not mean that sickness will knock your door. Having a relationship with Christ does not mean that death won't come knocking on your door. Having a relationship with Christ does not mean that financial hardship won't come your way. Well, having a relationship with Christ means that you have the confidence in Jesus that whatever you're going through, you know you're going to make it through. Having a relationship with Christ means that regardless of what is going on around you, regardless of what you're living, regardless of what your eyes see, you will focus on the glorious relationship that you have with Jesus Christ. When you are a believer in Christ, you don't have a choice to have faith in God. When you are a believer of Jesus Christ, you have no choice but to trust God and rely on God. And I know it's easier said than done, but I'm here to tell you, church, that it is possible. It is possible to see the light at the end of the tunnel. It is possible to understand that even though the sun may set and it's dark, but the sun will rise the next day.
Amen.
I'm here to tell you, church, I understand that we are going through hardship. I understand that for many of the new believers, the honeymoon stage passed. And what I mean by the honeymoon stage is you accept the Christ as your Lord and Savior. You want to be 24/7 in church. You don't want to leave church. You want to be in Bible study. You want to be in women's breakfast. You want to be in men's breakfast. You wish that you had a key to the church that you can be here 24/7. How many of us have gone through that? Amen. And then you start saying, well, I don't got to go this month to women's breakfast. I don't got to go this month to men's breakfast. I'll catch you next month. And then, I don't got to go to church this Sunday. You know, I'd rather go home and be disappointed by another Bears loss. Sorry, Bears fans. You know, and then before you know it, you're non-existent at church. But I'm here to tell you a little secret. When those moments come where the honeymoon stage isn't there anymore and you don't feel like coming to church, those are the days that you need to run to the church. Those are the days that you need to run here and dive into the presence of God. Why? Because the devil is not going to sit here and attack you when you are on fire for God and you're connected with God, because he knows there's no way that you're just going to walk away. But when your fire starts dwindling a little bit, when that flame isn't burning as bright as it used to, there comes the devil. Hey, it's okay to stay back one Sunday, two Sundays. It's okay to not go to Micah's Bible study this week. It's okay to not check in with your pastor because you're going through situations. It's fine. Things will pass. And then you start listening to that voice. And before you know it, you don't pray anymore. You don't read the word anymore. You don't dive into your relationship with God anymore. And then you start asking yourself, am I saved? Does Christ still live in me? And I'm going to tell you, church, you need to connect yourself with Jesus. You need to have a connection with God, just like you need oxygen to survive. We need Jesus Christ to survive. And the beautiful thing about this is, church, that you have come to a church where you have pastors that love this congregation. When you have pastors that all we want is to see you fruitful in the word, to see you fruitful in your walk with God. And I can speak for me and Michael when I say we will do anything in our power to make sure that you know where you are going the day that God calls you home. My job here is to make sure that the day that you pass away, that I can stand on your funeral and say, this man, this woman was a man or woman of God. And they're rejoicing in the presence of God right now. And I'm not trying to spook anybody about death, but this is reality, church. And the more we accept the fact that no matter what we do in life, we need God, the faster we're going to be entwined with a relationship with Jesus. And I tell you something, church, that I have come to understand in my young 29 years of life, I know, compared to a lot of other people, I'm just a baby. But I have come to understand, church, that my life without Jesus has no meaning. My purpose in life is to please God. And I had a conversation with my dad yesterday. And I told him, I'm like, you know what I like about God? I said, God doesn't love me because I'm a pastor. God didn't save me because I'm a pastor. God loves me because I am a child of God. Despite of what my title is, pastor, bishop, whatever you want to call yourself, God loves you because you are a child of God, and his salvation to you is not hindered on what your status is, how much money you have, what, it doesn't matter. The relationship between you and God is non-negotiable. Romans chapter 3 verse 28 says, for all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. So what does this mean, church? For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. First Church of God, don't you think that Jesus knows that we're going to make mistakes? Don't you think that Jesus knows that some way along the road, we're going to get angry? Somewhere along the road, we might lie. We might do things that don't please God. But the beautiful thing about this is that our relationship with Christ is not one strike and you're out. If that was the case, man, I don't think any of us will be standing here today. If God was one strike and you're done, I don't know how many of you guys have read the Old Testament, where it talks about how back in the day, they used to put little jingle bells on the ankles of the priests. And used to tie a rope on their waist. And if the priest wasn't doing things the way he was supposed to, as soon as he touched the altar, he'll drop dead. And then they'll have to pull them back out. Imagine if that's how God operated still. Think about that for a second. One strike and you die. But glory be to Christ that we have grace and mercy that if we make a mistake, we still find forgiveness in Jesus. How many of us understand that salvation is a gift? That we didn't do anything to get, but it was given to us through the sacrifices of Jesus. Revelations chapter 22 verse 17 says, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. First Church of God, salvation is the most beautiful thing that we can ever achieve, that we can ever have. Being saved by Jesus Christ should be the most important step you take in your entire life. It's not who you marry. It's not what career path you take. It's not who your friends are. But who you call Savior. Because at the end of the day, church, the only thing that will guarantee us a piece of heaven is having a relationship with Christ. I have understood that I am not perfect. And I have also understood that that's okay. I've understood that I don't have everything figured out. And I thank God that that's okay too. I understand that I don't know it all when it comes to the Word of God. And I thank the Lord that that's also okay. And I have come to the realization that I don't need to have everything figured out to follow Jesus. I have come to the understanding that it's okay to have questions. I have come to the understanding that it's okay to not know how to pray. I understand that it's okay to not know how to fast. I have understood that it's okay to not understand what I'm reading in the Bible. Because I'm explaining to you something. The more you pray, the more God will reveal to you how to pray. The more you read the Word of God, the more God is going to begin to expand your knowledge. And you're going to be able to retain what you're reading. The more that you walk with Christ, the more Christ will reveal to you. The more you love God, the more God will do for you. Why? Because God has promised to show us things. God has promised to be there with us. God has promised to reveal things to us. And church, the only way that we're going to be having revelations from God is being in the Word of God. Having a relationship with God. Understanding the dynamics of our devotion time with God. I'm going to tell you something. Me and Jasmine started going to the gym together. And in that time in that hour that we work out together and stuff, we have conversations. Sometimes, she's breathing real heavy, so she got her headphones on, and I'm breathing heavy to her, whatever. But that's the time that we get to have devotion with God. It's not a formal thing. It's not, we're in here. No, we're working out, sweating, breathing heavy. I'm about to have a heart attack. And we're listening to worship music. We are filling ourselves with the Lord. And that's just a small example of what you can do. It doesn't have to be on your knees and a specific time of the day. It doesn't matter. God just wants you to have a devotion time with Him. And whatever that devotion time looks like, that's between you and God. If today you have an hour to read your Bible, awesome. If you have an hour driving, you pop the audio Bible on the app, great. Find the time to have a relationship with God. Don't wait till you're on your deathbed to want to please God. Do it now that you're healthy, that you can enjoy salvation, that you can enjoy fellowshipping with your brothers and sisters, that you can enjoy what it is to live in the presence of God. I've seen a lot of people that say, oh, church is for old people. Oh, I have a relationship with God. Before I die, I'll accept Christ as my Savior and I'll still go to heaven. Why would you want to live 90 years without Jesus? Why would you want to live a day without Jesus? I'm going to tell you, church, I was born into a Christian household. I was born into a God-fearing home. And that didn't stop me from doing things that I know I wasn't supposed to do. That didn't stop me from living my own life. That didn't stop me from having my wild teenage years. But I thank the Lord for something. I thank the Lord that He didn't allow me to turn my heart so cold against God that I didn't have an opportunity to come back. Because I'm going to tell you something, church. When I compare my life when I wasn't in there with God and I compare my life now, I would never want to go back. I would never want to live one more second of that devastating lifestyle that I used to live when I didn't have Jesus in my heart. And you might say to yourself now, wow, you know, your dad, how can you stray away from God having the type of dad that you have? And but I'm gonna tell you, church, it doesn't matter who in your family is saved, who is not. You can't piggyback somebody. You cannot be saved because your mother is saved. You can't be saved because your brother is saved. All of us need to have our own encounter with God. All of us have to accept Christ as our Lord and Savior individually, because salvation is an individual thing. She knows this. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart and that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. It doesn't say here if your mother believes. It doesn't say here if your father believes. It doesn't say here if your pastor believes. It says if you believe, if you declare. Many times, church, and I'm going to be one of those, as a PK, you know, pastor's kid, oh, my mom and dad pray every day, so I don't have to pray. You know, my mom and dad fast for me, so I'm covered. I'll be all right. That's not true. We need to have our own encounter with God. We need to understand that the Lord is calling us into repentance, that the Lord is calling us to have a relationship with him. And First Church of God, how beautiful is it when you have an encounter with God? Can I ask you, how many of you remember your first real, genuine encounter with God?
Guitar that is.
Okay, come here, man. My question is, how did that make you feel to know that you have been accepted into the body of Christ? I'm going to tell you, church, I was 12 years old when I had my first real encounter with God. I was young, yeah. But it was during one of the revival services that my dad had at the church. And I said, God, I want to feel something today. I don't just want to come to the revival, listen, and go home. I was young. But I knew that God was real. And I knew that his Holy Spirit moved. And I said, God, I want to feel something today. I went to that service. I raised my hands during worship. I was in there, nothing. The pastor preached. It was an awesome sermon, nothing. And I said, man, I wanted to feel something. Nothing at all. Nothing. I got home that night. And I was getting ready to go to sleep. And I closed my eyes, and all I said was, man, I wanted to feel something today. And right then and there, I felt chills through my entire body. And my dad walked into the room. And my dad said, hey, I want to pray for you. Like 11:30 at night. I said, all right. My dad laid his hands on me and prayed. And I'm going to tell you, church, it was one of the best spiritual experiences that I have had in my entire life. And from that moment on, I knew that I was called to serve God. Even though I strayed away for a few. But I knew right then and there that I wanted that. All the time. That I wanted to feel the presence of God all the time. And that's why you see me that, you know, I run around and I'm excited, I'm bold. And, you know, sometimes I have a little too much energy. But I understand what God saved me from. I understand what God did for me, church, what salvation means to me, what salvation means to my wife and my kids. I understand what my life could have been without salvation. That's the reason why I am passionate about preaching the gospel. I am passionate about making sure that everyone in this congregation knows about Jesus, that has a relationship with Jesus, that understands that they need Jesus. And you might be saying to yourself, man, Pastor, every time you talk about Jesus. Yes, I do. Because Jesus is the only way that we can see the Father. Our relationship with Jesus is the only thing that guarantees us that when we leave this earth, we will be in heaven. And I'm going to tell you something. If you are here or you are listening, and you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, I would encourage you that you will make that step today to have a relationship with Christ. If you are sitting here listening, and you are in the fence of where you stand with Jesus, I want to push you to the side of righteousness. I want to push you to the side of salvation. And I'm going to tell you, church, it is beautiful to be in the presence of God. It is beautiful to have a relationship with Jesus. It is an unmatched feeling when you wake up and you give God thanks for another day of life. How many of us woke up today and thank the Lord that we are here? Many times we take even that for granted. It's like we expect to wake up the next day, right? It's like we expect to be here. And little do you know that you might close your eyes and never open them again. I encourage you, church, to seek God. And in these next few weeks, we are going to walk you through what you need to do to be sanctified. What you need to do to be in holiness with God. What you need to do to have affirmation in your salvation. What faith means. A lot of us talk about faith, but we don't even know what it is. So in these next few weeks, we are going to be walking side by side in this journey that we titled Back to the Basics. And I encourage you, don't miss a Sunday. You never know what will be talked about up here. Don't miss a Sunday. And if you're going to miss, I encourage you to watch online and get connected. I understand that, you know, it's starting to get cold outside. People are getting sick. I've been dealing with whatever this is for about 2 or 3 weeks now. And, you know, you might not feel healthy enough to come. But stay connected online. And I'm going to tell you, church, missing even one Sunday makes a difference. Not being here just 1 week makes a difference. And I see all the heads nodding, so I can guarantee you, you know exactly what I'm talking about. We, as the community of Christ, our job is to please God in everything that we do. And one of the ways that we please God is through our obedience to God. And one of the ways that you obey God is by not forsaking the assembly. Being here. Coming to church. And like I've said before, coming to church doesn't mean that you have a spot in heaven. But coming here helps. And I'm going to explain to you why. There's people that come to church just because they like the people that are here. They have no intention of listening to the word of God. There's just something to do on Sundays. But I'm going to tell you this. Even if that's you, keep coming. Because one day, you might be going through something. And the word of God is going to knock on your heart. And you're going to accept Christ.
Amen.
Two of the basically right-hand people of my dad's church, that's how they used to be. They came to church. One came to church for the free food, you know, my friend. And they ended up having a relationship with Christ after that. And another one came, you know, because it was just something to do on Sundays. And they were honest about it. Oh, I came for the food. My wife told me there was going to be food here, and I'm here. And I'm going to tell you, if that's you, that's fine. You know, we got free donuts every Sunday. You know, there's 4 dozen back there of a variety, and I don't know if you'd still do decaf, but there's coffee, donuts, whatever. Whatever the attraction is for you to come here, amen. Because I know one of these days is the day that you will receive salvation. So my job as a pastor is to make sure that what is preached up here is sound doctrine, uncorrupted, and it is always the truth. And glory be to God that the Lord has brought two amazing pastors to this place that never steer away from the truth. Amen?
Amen.
I thank God.